The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It is September 10th, 2024, and the world tonight is glued to their television watching the matchup they've been waiting to see for months, and that is Trick Williams versus Pete Dunne in the last man standing match in NXT to determine who will face for the NXT championship when it debuts on the CW in Chicago. It's quite a contest. We'll talk about it blow by blow, everything that happened, and the winner later on in this show. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Emily May, together again.
Hi.
So good to see you.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I know, right? Everyone's been all over the place.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, end of summer, getting that last travel in, but fall is upon us soon. Good wrestling season. It's kind of, this is the interesting time where I feel that WWE is about to relaunch Raw as a two-hour show, as we learned last night. NXT is going to the CW, SmackDown's coming to USA, and who knows, they might actually start telling some stories now.
Well, I think they're telling some stories for sure, but it's just gonna be in a different place. It is a different time. Like, it's actually really exciting. When we dive into the episode, we'll kind of see, I think, the effects of this big CW debut is really kind of affecting what they're doing the next few weeks leading into. So it's really exciting time for sure for NXT and all the programming.
Absolutely. Well, before we dive into NXT tonight, what is going on in the news?
Oh my goodness, Glenn. I'm sure you saw everyone has been talking about the PWI. The top 500 wrestlers list is out. And again, this is like one of those things. I don't know if you, if I know, as someone that is friends with lots of people on the list, it's always like one of those things. It's like Christmas morning, right? You kind of wake up, you kind of see if you're on the list, what number you're, what number do you rank? And again, PWI revealed its top 500, and the time frame for this to measure each of the performer's success was between August 1st, 2023 and July 31st, 2024. Mm-hmm. And again, they have all these parameters on type of matches, things like that. And Glenn, did you hear who was number one?
Yes. And I mean, I wasn't really
surprised.
Cody Rhodes.
Are you surprised?
He has adrenaline in his soul, and he's the number one wrestler in the world, according to PWI.
Yes, according to PWI, the top 10, again, starting at the top, number one, Cody Rhodes. Number two, Swerve Strickland. Number three, Will Ospreay. Number four, Seth freaking Rollins. Number five, Tetsuya Naito. Number six, Damian Priest. Seven, MJF. Eight, Jon Moxley. Nine, Gunther. And 10, Mystico. So I want everyone, I know we won't, that's just 10. So there's 500 to get through. I'm still like going through the list here. But everyone in the chat, let us know. Do you agree with the top 10? Glenn, do you agree with the top 10?
It's a good top 10. I would like to see Tony D'Angelo, you know, on that list. I think he's made great strides both in wrestling and character work, you know, the things that really matter. But no, I think good on Damian Priest. I liked seeing Damian Priest get some top level recognition.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked a little bit about like we talked about this on Raw about like the transition and journey that Damian Priest has been going through this past year. And then now like with this Terror Twins thing, he's, you know, even though he's not necessarily a champion right now, he's more over than I think he was as champion. So like this journey he's going on, I'm excited to see him on the list too. So if you all are interested in hearing more about the PWI 500, check out wrestlinginc.com. There's a whole article on it, as well as check out PWI. Again, we'll just, you know, tag Glenn and I on social media. We'll talk about it. We'll debate it. And I want to know if you all agree with that top 10.
I think with wrestling though, it's interesting because even when you define the start of a year can often have an impact on how this is ranked. I think really when you talk about wrestlers in the top 20, certainly in the top 10, it's all about time frame and does the calendar favor them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, MJF, for instance, being at number 7, MJF came back recently. He was out for
a while. So, you know? And it really, that the time frame affects it. Again, the booking of what type of matches, who the opponents are, if you have a big story, if you're on TV, if you're on pay-per-views, all of that affects merch, like feel like popularity, merch, like all these little factors, I think, you know, go into this type of stuff. I know I'm trying to pull up the official like
list of
what they go by, and I'm having trouble. So I know there's like an official thing they put out every time, saying this is what we go by.
In-ring achievement.
I know people Joe Hendry should have been on the top 10. I think he ranked, was it 57, 55, around in the 50s, I think.
Well, and the period was August 1st, 2023 to July 31st, 2024. See, exactly. If you shifted that time frame a little bit, you'd have a much different. But the primary criteria for this list is in-ring achievement. That's the win-loss record. Championships and tournaments won, their influence, which is their visibility and prestige within a promotion and or the industry, which is kind of also weird, right? Because it's kind of like booking has something to do with it. I mean, you can make the argument, you know, that, hey, if they booked Angel and Humberto better, they could easily like, you know, smash the other criteria.
Yeah.
But the man's trying to hold them down. Technical ability, the quality of moves, matches, and in-ring storytelling. The competition, success against the most varied and highest quality opponents. Also, that's a booking thing. Activity, minimum of 10 singles non-tag matches total. Well, that's why R-Truth isn't on the list. Yeah. Or barring this, 6 such matches in separate months. And it says, this list prioritizes success in singles competition and vying for heavyweight singles accolades, and to a lesser extent, those in weight classes. So it's a little, you know, thumb on the scale in terms of how this is judged, but good on everybody that,
congratulations to everyone. I'm super proud of everyone, like on the independent circuit. I think it's always exciting for them to see themselves on the list. So, that's, super exciting for everyone. And then also just to like continue with the news.
Yeah.
We also had backstage news, shared, officially by Fightful that, Cedric Alexander renewed his contract with WWE earlier this year. And while the exact terms of the new deal have not been disclosed, supposedly, allegedly, it is a multi-year deal. And I know NXT, we saw some returns tonight too, some surprise returns. So
yeah,
this is more exciting signings. And so, you know, I'm not sure what this means as we get into the CW era, if we'll see some re-signs and some new contracts coming out of it.
Yeah, C-Dub, it's an exciting time.
Yeah. So that's my news for the day, Glenn.
Okay. And that's the only important stuff that happened in the world today.
And I mean, I have lots to say about this episode, Glenn, of NXT.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Yeah. I look forward to it.
I'm ready. Cause yeah, I see some of my favorite, my favorites in the chat already.
Yeah. Tuesday Night Crew. This is where it's at. NXT, hottest promotion in all professional wrestling. And we're going to cover it all. We open tonight with Fraxium, who was supposed to be giving the Rascals a shot at those NXT Tag Team Championships in a one-on-one match. But wouldn't you know it, they were attacked. They couldn't compete. There was chicanery. And instead, the Street Profits came back to challenge for those titles. However, we ended in a double DQ because the Bloodline interrupted the match. Kind of crazy. What did you think of this?
Why does the Bloodline have to get involved?
Well,
why
I mean,
are they showing up on NXT?
Because they want, you know, they want to get in on everything, you know?
I know. They're trying to take over the whole WWE universe. That's why.
Yes. And good on them for having ambition. I think, you know, moxie, as the kids say, maybe in the 1930s. But no, it's good that the Bloodline has ambition. But I don't know. I mean, I thought that kind of a cop-out ending. It would have been cool. I mean, if the Street Profits would have won, that would have been cool.
I'm thinking they might have a big change going into CW. Like, let's have new champions.
Yeah. That did not happen.
That did not happen. I mean, I was really... So again, we have, you know, two-time tag team champions, right? What's their combined name?
Fraxium.
Their couple name, right? They need competitors, tag team competitors like the Street Profits. They need like veteran opponents to like solidify their next reign, right? If they're going to go into the CW era as tag team champions, they need these competitors, these opponents. So I think it was a challenge for them. But again, we had a lot of shenanigans on this episode where not all the matches ended in a solid win.
Yeah, look, I mean...
So we had a lot of people interfering.
They, HBK wakes up every morning. And the first thing he does is he walks over to the calendar and he puts an X on the day and just counts the days until they debut on the CW. Because they have to still keep stalling for time and making TV with very little consequence until that happens.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
So do you think the pressure is on? Because you could sense they're building. They're obviously building. We heard the announcement at the end of the episode. CM Punk's coming next week.
Can't wait to get there. They're so looking forward to it.
I think it's going to change everything for them.
3 weeks from today, from tonight, it's a big deal. But yeah, you can kind of tell that they're dragging some things out, perhaps. But...
Danny, can you talk about Danny's comment?
Tamu Bloodline? I mean, look, it's the baby Bloodline. Bloodline, the next generation.
It's the micro Bloodline. It's the smaller version. They're
part of the Bloodline.
They're part of the Bloodline. They're just, you know, maybe not all the way up there. Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's Jacob Fatu in the backing band.
I mean, like, Jacob Fatu is freaking incredible. So,
yeah,
like,
he's amazing.
He's going to run everything one day.
Yeah. No, he's the best. So yeah, they chaos to end that first match. But then we had Julia versus Chelsea Green. Julia making her in-ring debut at NXT. And I like that it wasn't a squash, but instead they extended the match so Julia could just throw Chelsea Green around for 5 minutes and prolong the pain.
Yes, that's what it's about. Julia brings the pain.
Yes.
Brings the pain. I mean, as many of you all know, I work at New Japan. So I worked with Julia very closely. So you know, she's a former New Japan Strong Champion. Like, I am so proud of her for this moment, right? Like, she's worked her whole career for this. So seeing her big entrance, I got chills. Seeing, like, Chelsea Green is the perfect first opponent for her at NXT because Chelsea knows, she's been doing this for a very long time. She knows, she not only worked at Stardom and did two tours with them, she understands the technical aspect that Julia is bringing to the NXT world.
Yeah.
She understands intimately how that all works. And I don't think there would have been a better opponent. And Chelsea also knows how to put new talent over. She's done it. She does it with you know, some comedy, and she knows the stuff to do to make it all look seamless. And I really think this was a really great debut for Julia. And we did see that little, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but we did see that little moment backstage, not only with Roxanne, but Jordan Grace. So there's definitely more to come for Julia. This is, I think they're going to push her really, really hard, and she's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, I thought this match was great, and I think the question is just how many years is Julia going to be NXT champ, and it depends on her.
How many years? It's just how many years.
No, it is how many years.
And how many.
Yeah, right, unless they want to call her up imminently, but I don't know that. I think we're in for another, she might even break Asuka's record, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think she needs to find her grounding in this new space, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she is, like, I love how they kept her name, and she really can bring her character to life a little bit. And she is really going to, I feel like she's going to kind of be herself a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that tonight. And as long as they let her spread her wings and do her thing, you know, I think it's going to be great for NXT. And that October 1st debut is going to be huge for her too on CW.
It's kind of funny that Chelsea Green has this great gimmick, but she's becoming, she stands out as a character, even though she's getting these matches to lose. But I like this idea of someone whose specialty is the extended squash match. Kind of like how Mia Yim, who I love and I think they should book to win, her specialty is the competitive loss.
Mm,
like, yeah. She can go out there and put on a 10-minute match that's super competitive and ultimately lose. Chelsea can just handle, like, taking, you know, a beating in the ring from her opponent for a prolonged period of time.
Well, Chelsea knows how to tell that story.
And sell. She sells.
And sell. And the thing is, in Japan, you train differently and you sell differently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you notice, Julia's style of selling is totally different than what they teach at, I mean, I'm not at the PC, but you can tell the difference between some of the competitors that come from, like, the independent scene than people that are, like, gymnasts and acrobatics that are, like, getting shown it the first time, right?
Yeah.
So you can see the difference, and Chelsea's familiar with that. And again, and Chelsea did have good spots. She does know how to be like, hey, I'm going to get these five things in, and you get these things, and put over the talent that's coming in. And she's talked about that in interviews.
Yeah.
And that's okay to be like that. It actually makes you likable.
Mm-hmm.
And people love you even more because you do that.
No, I really enjoyed this.
It doesn't make her less talented. It actually makes her even more talented.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that is the hardest. Sorry, excuse me. That's the hardest thing to do.
No, and I like this as opposed to what they were doing in NXT 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It would have been nameless competitor.
Yeah.
You know, or like, someone from the 80s.
Entrance. No one knows who they are.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, hey, Tessa Blanchard, great news. We booked you for spot at NXT. It's so Charlotte can come in here and kill you. Yeah. They're not doing that so much anymore. And I like that. I like that they're I like competitive losses. I like extended matches. Mm-hmm. I think the old school squash became too predictable for a while, where they were trying to do all these killer characters that now it means something when someone, like what happened the other night with Giovanni Vinci. Mm-hmm. Like, now it's a complete surprise when they do just out of nowhere.
Exactly. Like, they're limiting those type of enhancement matches.
Yeah.
You know, where the Vinci one, people were quite upset by.
I loved it. I thought that was so brilliant. I haven't been swerved on that since Abaddon's debut in AEW, of expecting one thing in a match and then getting something completely different.
And then getting totally different. And I feel like we got a lot of that tonight, where a lot of the matches went a direction that we were not expecting.
Yeah. Well, we had Charlie Dempsey with the No Quarter Catch crew versus Javon Evans out there with Cedric Alexander recently re-signed. How are you feeling about the NQCC?
I do like these the Heritage Cup matches. I like how they're like integrating the British style kind of matches, right? I think it's different, but I feel like they need to find their place. Like, they're kind of causing chaos within each other. I think they're going to continue to have these matches every week and see what happens with Dempsey.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting. The NQCC, in a weird way. Now, some people like the Heritage Cup, fans of NXT UK primarily. I still don't fully understand the rules. I know there's rounds, and I know there's winners. Rounds.
Whoever has the most pins or submissions, they win the Heritage Cup.
Yes, but then if there's no point in the round, and I'm grasping it better, I'm understanding it better.
Yeah,
I'm getting there.
Yeah, I know. It's a holdover from NXT UK.
It's like the water bottle problem in Die Hard 3. I get the concept of it, but if you ask me to
explain it, you understand that it's there.
Yeah, but if I have to explain it, I'm going to get confused and mess up the order. But I think I could do it if there was a ticking bomb and I needed to you know, put the jug on the scale to stop everything from exploding. But Charlie Dempsey won and retained.
I do agree with Jeroy J's comment that they just need to shut up and follow Ren's lead.
Yes.
Ren Sinclair is very smart. She knows what she's doing. Follow her lead.
She's the Thea Hale of the No Quarter Catch crew.
Yes, exactly. She, you know, I know she's kind of like messing things up every once in a while, but no, they need to follow her lead.
Yes, baby ice fan of Dempsey's crew have no idea what's going on during a Heritage match.
But it's fun, right? Even if there's a lot of matches, you don't know what's going on, and they're still fun.
you know what I like about the Heritage Cup match is you watch wrestling a lot, and you kind of condition yourself where on NXT, on Raw or SmackDown, or pay-per-views are the worst. Because on pay-per-view, you're like, this match is going to go for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be some spots where there's going to be a middle. I like with the Heritage Cup match, you kind of know, like, okay, this is going on for like 10 to 15 minutes, and just sort of, you can have pay attention. It's fine. It's going to go back and forth.
So is that what you were doing, Glenn?
There was something else on TV tonight that was kind of distracting my attention.
There was a lot on TV tonight. So
yeah, you know, cable this month is showing The Accountant again. And so I'm like, oh man, The Accountant's on. I got to pay attention to this.
I was watching The Firm. That was like the movie.
Dude, The Firm has been on so many times.
Do you know why they keep
replaying it? It's strange too. Like, they show that more than Top Gun Maverick. Like, The Firm is always on cable.
It's so on all the time. I'm like, why?
But I've watched it. I've seen The Firm in its entirety three times over the summer. because it's just been on so much.
Anyone a fan of the firm? Let me know in the chat.
I mean, look, The Rainmaker is the best John Grisham adaptation of a movie. Like that, I'll watch, and I love that movie. The Firm is good. It's just, it's not even Tom Cruise's best movie. Like it's good, but it's not. It's very watchable. It's a very watchable film. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so we saw who Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo was paying someone off to take on Obafemi and hopefully take him out. But before that, we got an unsettling video of Rosemary and Wendy Chu playing with a dollhouse and some dolls and issuing an ominous warning. I love this pairing. What do you think of this pairing?
This love vignette? It.
Yeah.
I love the vignette. I like stopped everything I was doing and I was like, what is this? This is scary. It's creepy. We're going into fall, October, right? And this is the perfect. At first I was really wondering who was gonna pop out, and the fact that it was Rosemary Wendy Chu is like the perfect pairing to go together, and I am so ready for this. This is like perfect character work. Wendy Chu's gonna learn a lot from Rosemary. They're gonna learn a lot from each other. I can't wait. And we obviously saw some things tonight with them.
Yeah.
But I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Give me all like the creepy stuff, the dolls, the dollhouses, scare me under the bed. Like, let's do it. I don't like scary movies, but like, I'm into this.
No, but this is like almost old school, like benign scary at this point. Like you're not too freaked out, right?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
It might build.
Okay, it could. It could get scarier. It could get creepier.
It could get creepier.
Yeah. But I like this a lot. But then Obafemi took on Hammerstone from TNA, who Tony D'Angelo chose to challenge for the North American Championship tonight. What did you think of seeing Hammerstone on NXT?
I think the news kind of broke earlier in the day, so
yeah,
kind
was of a little figured, spoiled.
It was a little spoiled, but I think it's amazing seeing him there, you know, and having, obviously we had a lot of TNA talent on the show tonight. But I think, you know, Obafemi obviously went against Otis a few weeks ago, really kind of competing against these huge heavyweights, and that's the only way you can go. Like these are brutal, like big brutes that are going to just fight each other until they can't anymore. And, you know, I think we saw that. I think it's great that they're getting, that TNA talent are getting highlighted on NXT. But Obafemi, I don't know who's going to take him out. That's the only question I have in the back of my mind. Every time they bring a new competitor to him, I question who will actually take him out, because he's just unstoppable right now.
Yeah. No, Obafemi, I think Hammerstone, here's the thing. It's like, I like that Hammerstone got this opportunity. It's just tough, man. Like, name a wrestler on any roster in the world right now that looks credibly physically like they're a threat to Obafemi.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I feel like it was a great matchup. Like Hammerstone, like that visual, that tableau of both of them in the ring is really like, that's the matchup we're going to have to see. But now you have to find someone that's the caliber and the strength and the, just the brooding nature of Hammerstone, that type of competitor every time for Obafemi.
I know. And there's not that many of them.
It's like, that's a challenge, like a very fun creative challenge for HBK, for NXT. Like who else can it be?
Wonder how now they can't bring back Parker Bordeaux. Like there's not many guys that they can afford to have lose to him, right? Like you're not gonna book Braun Strowman to lose to Obafemi.
No.
Although I'd like to see that match. That would be a good competitive match. Yeah, if and when Brock Lesnar ever came back, Brock versus Oba, but competitive.
Yeah.
That's a match.
I mean, that's the thing, is like a lot of the competitors and opponents I think that would be great already are having their matches and their feuds right now. So like, you can't just like move them away from what they're doing right now. So you kind of have to, that's why I feel like it's important for Obafemi to have these competitors come in from TNA. Maybe we'll have some other, maybe there's other people that might pop up, but because they're preparing him for other people so that mm-hmm. he has maybe another title reign elsewhere. And some of the main roster members come down again to compete with him. But it's definitely a creative puzzle that we're all trying to figure out and kind of wait for.
Have we seen Obafemi ever smile on TV? Because I feel like that's part of his credibility. I feel like with Braun Strowman, we saw Braun Strowman smile and he had those dimples and he became a little less menacing.
I think he kind of has a smirk, like not a full smile, but he kind of has, you know, how like evil villains have like a little, I can't do it. I'm not an evil villain, but there's a little sparkle, like a little smirk in the side, but it's not a full smile.
I mean,
but it's like an intimidating, like, yeah.
The first time I saw Braun Strowman kind of like giggle laugh, I was like, oh, he's adorable. And then I wasn't as threatened anymore.
Yeah, he can't laugh. Like, you can't, Obafemi is not going to be laughing unless it's an evil.
Cackle.
Yeah, a cackle, like a,
Like a baritone.
He's up in the tower, you know.
Or like the 7-Up guy or something, like an evil, like, you know what I'm talking about. It's a dated reference for people. But that dude had a good deep voice and like an evil sounding laugh. So Obafemi beat Hammerstone. And then we had Ridge Holland versus Duke Hudson with Thea Hale and Riley Osborne out there. And man, Ridge Holland still got some anger to work through.
Yeah, Ridge Holland is having some anger issues. I think he's going to need to go to some, have some sessions.
Yes.
Kind of talk through those issues. He obviously wanted to take it out in the ring tonight, but yeah, he's having some issues here.
Beating up Duke Hudson. Thea Hale begging him to stop.
And yeah, Chase Yu's having a tough time. Can we talk about that, Glenn? Just Chase Yu in general has just not been able to really get over what's been going on with them. Financial ruin and losing, you know, all these matches and the Heritage Cup, and I don't know what they're going to do.
So maybe if they have a downturn, it gets put in receivership, it gets assigned to JC Jane, who then comes back, and they have to like kind of mend fences and work together, and we get the JCU storyline finally like done right.
I feel like there needs to be some resolution because I feel like the members of JCU are just kind of floating around trying to, you know, figure out how they're going to survive.
Well, I think Thea, she was asking Ridge to stop. But again, I just, at this point, like, we're talking about this, you know, I think Thea, like, just a good Bobby Hill style kick to the groin. And she could have put an end to that with Ridge Holland.
Roel says, match of the night for me. I hate Chase Yu. I love seeing Thea cry.
Right. Things are not going well for Chase Yu. Medical officials were out there with a stretcher.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Poor Duke Hudson. And then, though, strangely, back from the break, and then Wesley's like, now's my time. I beat up Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel. Well, like, hey, Wentz, let's have a street fight.
I know. It was interesting because it's like, wait, okay, the tag team is not competing, but he's coming out here and saying, well, we're going to have a street fight later.
Yeah, on the CW, night one. Yeah.
and poor Vic Joseph is like, you took my mic. I hate when people take my mic. Let me tell you, Glenn. I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hot match. Do you think it's the right call, though, based off everything that we saw with what happened in No Mercy and all the momentum? Do you think it's the right call not to hit pause on that for 3 weeks?
I don't think they're going to pause it completely. I think they set it up. I think we'll see some segments in the next few weeks. We'll see some stuff. Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
I mean, who doesn't like a street fight?
Well, I mean,
I like street fights. I like the brutal. I mean, yeah, Jack knows. We talked to AEW this weekend. He knows that. The brutalness I like.
I think if you have a street fight, you have to come out dressed as your favorite street fighter character and adopt their moveset for the duration of the fight.
I don't know.
That would add something to it. Because instead it's just like, oh, look, I got a trash can and a kendo stick. First off, who's ever used a kendo stick in a street fight?
I mean, everyone? You've never used a kendo stick?
Not a wrestling street fight. I mean, like a legitimate street fight.
Like a legit street fight? I mean, it depends on how much stuff you have in the car or in the back alley.
That's true. But a kendo stick? I've never seen a kendo stick in an alley. And I've traveled around this country quite a bit.
You haven't just seen it sticking out of a dumpster?
No. Now, like a chain? Sure.
Yeah.
Like a beer bottle? Sure.
Yes.
Baseball bat? Pipe? Possibly?
Baseball bat, pipe, gasoline? Because, like Danny said, I always like a little fire.
A sledgehammer, which we all know you use.
Sledgehammer. You could use a tire iron. You could use a tire. You could use a hubcap. Don't see Glenn. Now you brought me down, and I'm gonna just like keep going down this list of things that I want to see.
Somebody, just for my own peace of mind, all of our fans. I see there's so many of you right now. I know thousands of people watch the show. I want you all to take to purchase kendo sticks and go leave them in trash cans and alleys. Just so I can feel like they're like, let's give legitimacy to the kendo stick in a street fight.
Yeah, I mean, Danny's saying apparently you have not been in a fight in Japan.
I get that. I get that other countries and other cultures are different, and you know that's.
I mean, we need chains. We need tape. We need. I can continue. Okay. Barbed wire, tack, fences.
I mean, I've like Green Street. Green Street Hooligans is one of my favorite movies. Nobody was using a kendo. The soccer hooligans weren't using kendo sticks. They're doing that horrible thing with the credit card, but not.
You haven't seen the trunk of my car.
Okay, that's good. Hey, you know, got to protect yourself. Always travel with a kendo stick. That's exactly. What my mom.
Instead of mace, you can use mace. That's another one.
It's been a while since we've seen something like that, like gimmick mace in a street fight. I could go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Let's do it.
I'll
bring some next week.
I remember one time I had like a keychain pepper spray thing.
It went
off. My brother goes outside and he's like, okay, can I mess with this? And he shoots it immediately into a gust of wind that blows it right back into his eyes.
Oh my God. Why would he want to mess with the pepper spray?
One of the funniest things I've ever seen though.
Why would you like voluntarily say, let me go play with pepper spray? Then that's just karma. That's just him. That's just Darwin's.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen. I mean, I felt bad. I got him some milk to wash his eyes out with, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was like a real life episode of ridiculousness right in front of me. Jordynne Grace tonight defended the TNA Knockouts Championship. Lots of speculation on who was going to face her, and it ended up being NXT's own Sol Ruka. What did you think of this match?
I mean, I honestly didn't know who would come out, right? I knew it would be an NXT star. It would make sense. I really liked it. I was very impressed by Sol Ruka to go against someone like Jordynne Grace. This is what, her third? Is this her third reign?
Is it
her third reign? Knockouts champion? A competitor that... you know, you're learning so much from. And again, Sol Ruka is bringing her gymnastic background, but she was really taking some of those moves so well, selling. And it boosted, like I could see the confidence that Sol Ruka just like brought to just go out there. And I think Jordynne elevated her in an incredible way tonight.
Yeah. Good on Sol, but what's crazy about this is that we got a DQ because Rosemary and Wendy Chu showed up.
Yes. See, I told you it's going to be chaos. They're going to be the mystical graveyard kind of creepy characters. They're gonna come out and like mess up every match moving forward.
I like that. Chaos agents, saboteurs.
Yes. But they're like, I just love this pairing so much. Like this was like one of my favorite parts. Again, when it went black and I was like, who's coming out? Who's coming out?
Yeah.
And they did it in such a really, you know, sometimes it's not as effective, right? It's either too short. But this, it was like long enough where like the crowd was getting anxious, everyone at home watching. And when the lights came up, it just was like, oh, this is why they're here. Because I feel like Wendy Chu is such a bold character, right? And she has experience. Rosemary has experience as well in the ring. And they're just going to like dominate that. And we need really strong tag teams.
Yeah.
So you have strong characters and a strong tag team, and they're going to just steamroll everyone.
Well, Bianca and Jade are coming back to defend those tag team titles on NXT.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting. I want there to be NXT women's tag team titles again. I think the women's division has so much talent. We need more opportunities, especially if Julie is going to hold that women's championship for a good long time. It can't just all fall on the North American championship as being the only title opportunity. I mean, yes, the Heritage Cup could. Ren Sinclair could lose that, perhaps. But I want more opportunities for the incredible female talents on NXT.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ren Sinclair definitely will have a women's title shot in the next year, maybe a little bit with Julia here. I don't know. I think with Julia, I kind of mixed it up because they're pushing Ren, obviously, with the stable right now. So I feel like she's going to see that out for a while.
Yeah.
She's going to definitely have to have a singles run. So I think they're developing her character because she's so great on the mic. She tells great stories. She's one of the strongest ones that can do that at NXT. So they are, I think, cultivating that right now.
Yeah. Well, backstage, we saw Roxanne Perez talking to Ava when Julia was there. And Funaki.
Yes.
That was great. That was lovely to see Funaki.
Yes, it was great. I love how Julia was like, I don't need you right now. And just addressed Roxanne directly and just with confidence. She kind of has like a evil villain feel to it.
Yeah, no, it was cool.
Well, yeah. I'm interested to see how they play Julia as, because against Roxanne is a heel right now. And Julia kind of has a mix of a babyface heel vibe. So I'm interested to see how they play that out.
Yeah. So we went from that to Brooks Jensen asking Tegan Lennox what gaslighting is.
It's pretty
funny. Sean Spear said, "Don't you worry your pretty little head about those big words."
Yeah, don't worry about the big words, Glenn.
Yeah. Pete Dunne made his way to the ring for his last man in standing match with Trick Williams. I mean, when they said this was for who's going to face Ethan Page the first night of the CW, like, I mean, it's going to be Trick. I predicted months ago Trick's winning it back that night, and this just kind of confirmed it. Him going through tonight, this extended knockdown dragout fight with Pete Dunne all over the inside of the Performance Center TV area.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for Trick Williams too, Glenn. Like, I'm a huge favorite. It just makes sense right now that he is going to, you know, try to go for that second run. And what I'm trying to like see is how they're going to build the next few weeks, right? Like we already got so many matches established, right, for October 1st tonight, and we have like 3 weeks left. So what are they going to build? But I like how tonight's with Pete Dunne and Trick Williams, it was kind of a throwback. I don't know if you remember some of the matches between like Johnny Gargano and Ciampa on NXT where they were like flying over some of those broadcast tables, flying off of huge platforms, just destroying the PC. And that's the vibe I got tonight watching this match. It was kind of like a throwback to not only the NXTs from, you know, what is it, 5+ years ago?
Probably, yeah, something like
that. To also, so it's a mix of new generation and the kind of the older generation kind of combining this. So I love those spots, that table spot at the end. I thought it was just going to be Pete Dunne going through, but the fact that both of them did, and Dunne did not recover from that and could not get up. And that was obviously the big victory for Trick Williams there.
This was great for Trick. But I mean, here's the thing though. Do you think they've made Trick Williams go from being Carmelo's sidekick to now looking like the toughest, or maybe not Obafemi tough, but like, you know, the most credible, Yeah, different type of tough. Baby face. Trick Williams is a baby face. Biggest, the toughest baby face. There we go. They've gone to making him look like the toughest baby face, but do you think Ethan Page stands a chance?
I mean, you saw how Ethan Page got thrown through and just so quickly. I know Ethan Page had his promo where he was like, it's his era, right? Like it's about
NXT.
It's NXT. And I feel like Trick Williams has the energy, a different type of energy he would bring as champion that I'm not seeing from Ethan Page.
Yeah.
And so, and that promo kind of proved it. And that last moment of tonight kind of proved it. So I think Trick Williams is on this other trajectory. I think being a singles competitor has been really good for him. I think it's helped him solidify who he is, who he wants to be. And I think he needs to bring that energy forward. And the crowd seems to be ready for it.
Yeah.
Cause even on at Heatwave and some of the other premium live events from NXT in recent months, like they're all behind him and they want to see him succeed. And I'm not necessarily getting the crowd behind Ethan Page. And I think that has a lot to do with whether a champion succeeds or not.
I mean, Ethan Page has a place in NXT. And I'm not denying that Ethan Page can be at the top of the card in NXT. I think the best thing they could have done for a short-term champion, even if it was just for a week, was have Joe Hendry win at No Mercy. Just because nobody would have seen that coming. We would have taken NXT TNA so much more seriously. Ethan could have won it back the next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But Ethan Page does not need to be protected. Trick is winning night one on the CW. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big moment. There'll be probably the curtain call again. Everyone will come out, put him up on the shoulders like they did with Rhea Ripley. It's going to be a big moment. So with that being said, what do you think CM Punk is going to announce next week? Is he going to be added to that match as a triple threat, which at this point seems kind of silly?
No, I don't think that makes... I don't think he would do that. I think he might... Maybe it's just hyping up the crowd. Maybe there are some special guests, some matches that are maybe some other debuts that we haven't seen yet.
Maybe CM Punk's going to challenge Obafemi for the. Yeah, I know, right? Like, that's like the worst idea.
Why would he do that?
Maybe he's going to challenge for the Heritage Cup.
That sounds. I mean, maybe, but he doesn't need the Heritage Cup.
I know.
Like,
I know.
He's going into a match, a Hell in a Cell match against Drew McIntyre at Bad Blood on October 5th, like 4 days later. What is
No, Drew McIntyre is showing up and costing him whatever he does. No. Drew McIntyre is showing up.
You think Drew will show up on NXT on October 1st?
Yeah, he's 100%. He is going to sabotage CM Punk.
Ooh, okay. And then he can't compete on October 5th?
No, I'm not saying that. I think it's just going to be some... He could even just be putting sugar in his gas tank. Just doing something like... just to provoke him and mess with him.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see next week on NXT what he has to say.
I know. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. This was the most exciting thing on television in the entire world tonight.
It was. I mean, I know we have to catch up on world politics soon, so...
who needs that? I mean, wrestling's more real.
Wrestling has its own politics.
That's true. But good show tonight. Good overall. And hey, you know, I bet if everybody hurries, I bet The Firm is on cable again.
I'm going to go check right now. I'm checking my listings.
I get excited. Like, and this makes me feel like a kid again when it's a new month and I'm like, oh, there's new movies in the rotation on cable. Yet The Firm is always there.
It's always there. It's one of those things you can always count on. Tom Cruise and The Firm.
So weird. Okay, everybody. Well, Emily, where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
Yes. Thank you all for joining us from the NXT post show. I'm Emily May. You can follow me on all social platforms right there below. Emily May Heller. And you can see all my, I have exciting things happening this weekend. And I'm always at wrestling shows and going all over the world. So follow me and you'll know where I'm at.
Nice. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Everybody, tomorrow night, AEW. Friday night, SmackDown comes back to the USA Network.
Yes.
Into Wrestling Inc. It'll be a star-studded show, I'm sure.
Yes. I got this from the USA Network. I'm going to open it later.
Maybe it's just all promo items from
I'm excited to open it.
But maybe it's like old promo items from the Purge, the series. They're like, hey, we have this lying around.
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is for the firm.
Yeah, it's a mug that says Chrisley knows best.
Wrong package. Yeah. So yes.
Very exciting. Smackdown, everybody. Yeah, have a great night. Have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Thanks, Tom.